Mary was devastated at this point of her life. Jesus, the one who she had followed and the one that she had learned so much about, had died. See, Jesus wasn't just some ordinary person. He was sometimes called a prophet, a teacher. But what many failed to understand was that he was the Almighty God, all-knowing God, who had come down from heaven to earth. And he went around doing good. We see in Luke chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Jesus went around doing good, performing miracles, healing people, and many people followed him. And one of those people who followed him was Mary Magdalene. However, Mary Magdalene was someone who was in a lot of trouble. We continue reading in verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. She was someone who was possessed with devils, someone who was very sick with infirmities. We do not know the way that she acted. The Bible doesn't specifically say that. But we do know that Mary was troubled physically and spiritually. There was a man called the maniac of Gadara who also was possessed in the Bible. Literally, someone who was called the crazy man in town. And it's described as him screaming, crying, breaking chains, having no control over what he did. If we take that to apply it with Mary, she was someone who had no peace, no joy, and no meaning to life. As I said in the video, she was someone who no one wanted to be around her. No one wanted to be associated with her. Everyone went out of their way to avoid her. This was someone who was helpless and had no hope. Has there ever been a time that you have felt that way? Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's with family. Maybe you were trying everything in your own power to fix it, but you had no control over it. Well, if you imagine with me the position that Mary Magdalene was in, she was in pain, physically and spiritually, with no hope. But ultimately, Mary's problem wasn't her background. Her problem wasn't her experience or what she knew. What Mary was struggling with is something that each and every one of us this morning struggle with. And that is sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. There's nothing that we can do in our own power to fix that. But we have all come short of a holy God. The Bible says in Isaiah 64, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. You may be here this morning, and you may be thinking, well, I'm not in the position as Mary is. I'm just trying to do my best, be kind to others, do all that I can. But the Bible says even our good works are as filthy rags. Whether it is lying, cheating, being unkind, saying unkind words or thoughts, we have all sinned against God. As it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, for sin is the transgression of the law. There was nothing that Mary could have done on her own for her trouble. I'm sure if she would have thought of anything that she could do, she would have. But she was helpless. The best doctors could not heal this condition. All the money in the world cannot buy the solution, and the best philosophers couldn't give her the best answers for her solution. Until one day, someone came to her and healed her, and his name is Jesus. Jesus was the only one who could heal Mary from her spiritual bondage and physically. Can you imagine the way she felt once she was healed? The peace that she finally had access to, the joy in her heart, and it was all because of Jesus. See, that was the very reason that Jesus was there, to heal her and to heal us. No longer was she a slave to sin. Now she can experience joy and the love that she had never known. Jesus told a parable of a man, of a good shepherd who had 100 sheep. And even though one wandered away, he left the 99 to go and seek that sheep. Why? Because of his love. Jesus left heaven and showed his love by coming down to us who were completely lost, completely helpless, and completely without hope. Luke 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Many people thought that Jesus was there as a prophet, a good person, or maybe to set up an earthly kingdom, but rather he left heaven's throne to come down to earth for people like Mary Magdalene and people like us. It wasn't just for Mary, it was for the whole world. Jesus didn't have to come down. He didn't have to do what he did for Mary, but he chose to. Why? Because of his love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It was his love for us and his desire for a relationship which caused him to come down and help a helpless world that could do nothing for themselves. If you notice, everything changed once Jesus came to Mary. No one else wanted to be around Mary, but Jesus, who was full of compassion and love, went to Mary and healed her. He did not just take away her infirmities. He did not just heal her sickness, but he totally and drastically changed her life. We see throughout the Bible many people who were changed because of Jesus. Peter, who was a fisherman, left everything to follow Jesus, and he became one of the leaders in the early century church. Paul killed Christians, and then Jesus changed his life, and he became a great missionary and planted churches. The maniac of Gadara, the crazy man in town who no one wanted to be around, who was crazy and out of control, the Bible says he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. All these people that were mentioned and many more, they were not perfect. It's not because of what they did. They all made mistakes. They all failed. But that did not matter to Jesus. He called them. They followed. And because of Jesus, their life was different. I'm here to tell you this morning that it does not matter what you have done in the past. It does not matter your mistakes or your past decisions. Jesus still loves you, and he wants to help you today. Mary couldn't fix herself, and the truth is we cannot fix ourselves either. Sin has left us broken, empty, and in need. But Jesus did not come for perfect people. He came for people like Mary and people like us who are helpless and hopeless without him. And the same Jesus that changed her life can change yours as well. As we continue looking this morning at the life of Mary, we see a woman whose life was completely transformed by Jesus. And what he did for you, he can do for all. This morning, even though we will be studying the life of Mary, it's truly not just about Mary. The story isn't about us. It's rather about a loving Savior who changed Mary's life. Mary couldn't fix her condition, but Jesus could. And he did. You may be sitting here this morning and wondering, no one knows about my condition. There was no one that can help me. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you, and he can help your helpless and hopeless situation. As the singers come up to sing the next song, let's remember that it was Jesus' love that brought him down from heaven for people like Mary and for people like us. Won't you please join us? We stand together, the love of God.
Mary Magdalene turned from her past, whatever that may have been. May I ask you to set aside the legend of Mary Magdalene? There have been many things said about her down through history, none of which the Bible calls out. This portrayal you've just seen really emphasized the point that when Jesus forgives, it's gone. Amen. It's a new start. It's a brand new life. She followed Jesus with all her heart, all of her mind, and all of her strength. As much as is humanly possible, she held nothing back. Some will try to say that's because she was forgiven much. If you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, He has forgiven you much.
Amen.
It's about His mercy. She was saved early in Jesus' ministry when He went through Galilee. She witnessed much of His ministry, the teaching, the miracles, the places that He went, the confrontations with the religious elite, you know, with the folks who thought they had it together. Her awareness of what Jesus had done for her grew every day. From the day that she trusted Jesus as her personal Savior till the day that you've seen in the video thus far, she grew every day. She followed. She ministered. You know, we don't have a lot of details about what she did, but I want you to take a few moments and go with me and look into the Scripture. There's a Bible in the pew in front of you if you don't have one. The verses will be on the screen. I want you to see what she witnessed after this life-changing experience that she had. Matthew chapter 27, verse 54. Let me set the stage. This is the crucifixion. In Matthew's account, at this point where I'm going to pick up the reading, Jesus has already cried with a loud shout and given up the ghost. He has just passed away. The events that immediately followed were the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. If you don't know what that means, study that out sometime. It's incredible. The earth shook. I don't mean a little tremor. I mean there was an earthquake. So much so that the people wondered, what on earth, truly, what on earth is going on? Matthew also records that graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. That's a whole nother lesson right there. Verse 54. Now when the centurion, and you saw the centurion in the video, when the centurion and they that were with him, he wasn't alone, watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Mary Magdalene followed Jesus from Galilee through towns and villages, probably for up to a year and a half, as near as I can tell from what the Bible says. It says she ministered to him. I have no idea what resources Mary Magdalene had. I have no idea what labor she devoted to support the ministry, but it's clear that she did because the Bible says so. We need not speculate. It's just the point of fact that she gave what she had. She witnessed the whole event, the whole thing. And when it came time to take the body down, she had already made up her mind, she'd made a commitment in her mind, she was going to make sure that Jesus got a proper burial. It was her privilege, it was a duty, it was a responsibility that she wanted to fulfill. If you look now at verse 61, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. So after Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had come and taken the body, they'd gotten permission from Pilate, and they put it in the tomb, Mary stayed right there. Mary Magdalene stayed right there. She wanted to see where the body was going to go. Notice that in all of this, she demonstrated no fear. She didn't deny. She didn't turn away. She was committed to the one who had saved her. Let's look at what Mark has to say. Mark chapter 15. Verses 40 and 41. Mark's context is the same as Matthew's, but he records something a little bit different. So you take the Gospels and you look at this event from different perspectives to get the total picture. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome, another lady was there, who also when he was in Galilee followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up unto him with him unto Jerusalem. And then Mark also records in verse 47, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. So Mark also records that Mary Magdalene stayed and was committed to see where the body was laid because she had already set in her mind what she was going to do. Luke also has an account, but Mary's not named. I'm going to skip that. I want you to take you to John now, chapter 19. John 19, 25 through 30. John's context is different. This is called out before Jesus dies. Okay, watch this. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas. By the way, if you're keeping count, how many Marys have you seen? It's important to keep them straight, okay? And Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Mary Magdalene witnessed all of that. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. Amen. Everything that needed to be done, every prophecy that needed to be fulfilled, everything had been completed except one thing. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Mary witnessed all of that. Now, Mary's sense of loss had to be overwhelming. Jesus had changed her life in a way, really, that words can't describe. And now he was gone. And you know what? She didn't know what was coming next. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior and you're walking with him, you don't know what's coming next. Is your faith in your plan? Is your faith in your duty? Is your faith in what you expect to happen? I hope not. Your faith should be in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's where her faith is. It's incredible to think that that big a change could have been made in her life. She gets to this point, and she doesn't know what to do. I've been there. The only thing I knew to do was get on my knees and pray. Notice, unlike some other disciples, by the way, Mary Magdalene is a disciple of Jesus Christ. We misunderstand that term sometimes. She never denied Christ. And I'm making comparisons on purpose. She never ran away. She was a constant presence all the way to the tomb. Like everyone else, despite what Jesus had said before he left, he had told them several times, this is what's going to happen. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody. Despite not knowing what's coming next, Mary Magdalene stayed faithful. Her testimony is compelling both for those of us who consider ourselves to be disciples of Jesus and for those who have yet to answer the call and make that decision. You know, the testimony of Mary Magdalene can be stated in two words. She was all in. If you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, are you all in? Is your life focused on him and his will? Are you all in? Don't be half-hearted. Don't be hesitant. If you're his disciple, be his disciple. If you aren't his disciple, and you know the answer to that, you ought to consider that seriously. Your eternity depends on it. If you're following along and paying careful attention to what's going on here, watch what happens next in Mary Magdalene's experience. Please stand with us and sing, We Fall Down.
Amen. And what a glorious morning it was when the stone was rolled away. As we look at the scriptures in John chapter 20, it tells us a little bit more about that morning that the stone was rolled away. It tells us that Mary first went into that tomb and that she was spoken to by an angel, but she did not recognize that being as an angel. It is said that Jesus himself even spoke to her as she is weeping at the sepulcher. Jesus himself stands before her and speaks to her and says, Woman, why weepest thou? And Mary still does not understand that she is in the midst of a miracle. She mistakes him for a common gardener that would keep the tomb. But everything changes with just one word. As you see in John chapter 20 in verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. When Jesus called her name, notice her reaction. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And she directed her to go and tell the others. You see, for days now, after the crucifixion, before the resurrection, many of the disciples felt as if they had no hope. Some had gone back to their lives before Jesus. They felt as these years that they spent following Jesus, it all meant nothing. They thought there was no hope left. But the truth is, hope had just arrived. Because if Jesus were still in that grave, there would be no hope. If Jesus were still in that grave, there would be no joy. If he were still in that grave, there would be no reason to believe. But he wasn't in the grave. He was standing right next to Mary to comfort her and to send her that morning. And because of the resurrection, the victory that we live in this morning, we see three realities that change everything in our life. The first being, he was alive. Jesus was risen indeed. Notice what Paul says, an apostle of Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. He says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Paul is telling these believers, here's the gospel I'm telling you about, the same gospel that has saved your soul. Verse 3, For I have delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What is the gospel? According to Paul, the gospel means that Jesus Christ came on this earth and he died for our sins. He was buried and laid in that grave for 3 days, but then he rose again that third morning, claiming victory over death, sin, and the grave. In verse 2, Paul puts it frankly. He says, listen, if the resurrection didn't happen, our faith is in vain. Our faith is meaningless. If the resurrection didn't happen, we might as well all go home. But Paul says this, the resurrection is historical fact. The resurrection did happen, and Jesus is alive this morning, seated on the right hand of the Father. And I praise God that he sent his only Son for you and for me. As a father, I can barely understand how a perfect God would send his Son for me, a sinner. And our faith is secure in Christ. Our faith is secure in the resurrection. And the resurrection was a show of God's mighty power. Look what Paul says later in that same chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57 changes everything. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus claimed total victory over death. What does that mean for you and for me? That means our past no longer defines us. That means the shame of our past doesn't matter anymore because there is new life offered in Jesus alone. Jesus claimed victory that only he could. We see during his earthly ministry that he had power over infirmities and he had the power to heal people. He caused the blind to see, the lame to walk. He ceased the wind and the waves when the disciples were troubled. He had power over all things on this earth. And his final show on this earth was to show he had power even over death. Jesus Christ is over all things this morning, and he is alive. But notice, secondly, Jesus knew her name. Jesus knew Mary Magdalene's name. The resurrection is deeply personal. Notice at the moment that Jesus calls Mary's name, that's when everything changes. Mary is at that tomb weeping. Mary is at that tomb inconsolable that her Savior is dead and gone. But Jesus calls her by name, and she responds to him, calling him Master, knowing he is in control. He is able. And can I share with you that Jesus is still calling people this morning? Jesus calls each person individually if we'll put our faith personally in him. Faith is not passed down through family. Faith is not passed down through us being good people. It is Jesus Christ calls us. Amen. But why? Why would he come to this earth? Why would he go through everything as he did? Because of the heart of the verse that was shared earlier, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come for the people that thought they had it all together. In one point in his earthly ministry, these Pharisees come to him and they ask him, why are you eating and drinking with these publicans and these sinners? They're not worthy to be sitting with a man like you. And Jesus acknowledges himself as the great physician. He says, it is only the sick that need a doctor. And Jesus came for the sick. Jesus came for the people that the world has pushed to the side and the world has forgotten because of his compassion and his love for us. This morning, Jesus knows exactly what you are going through. Jesus knows exactly everything that you will go through one day. He is always with us every step of the way. He is not some distant figure, but he is waiting with arms open, according to Romans 10:13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, that's everyone in this room. That's everyone watching online. Everyone, if they'll call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. But saved from what? It's not our daily circumstances that the scripture is talking about, although God will be with us. But the truth is, as was talked about earlier, our sin brings us short of the glory of God. Our sin separates us from a God that loves us, but from a God that is perfectly holy. And it is because Jesus Christ came and died for our sins that if we'll put our faith in him alone, that he promises that we can know, not think, not guess, but we can know that we have an eternity in heaven. Because the truth is, we will all spend eternity in either a place called hell or a place called heaven. And the only way to heaven, Jesus says himself, is through a personal faith in Jesus Christ. But he came because he loved us so much, and he loved us personally. Jesus always cared for those around him, no matter how insignificant the world saw them as. He was crucified, and he rose the third day for you and for me. And the fact of the matter is, that day, everything changed. Amen. At the tomb, Mary was weeping and beside herself. But Jesus quickly changed her mourning into joy. He quickly changed her weeping into her going and telling others. Are we driven by the resurrection to tell others about Jesus Christ? Are we driven to go and share the hope of not only the resurrection, but the gospel of Jesus Christ? When Jesus rose from the dead, he gave us everlasting victory and freedom. Notice what John 8:36 says. It says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, if Jesus shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There is no question this morning. If your faith is in Jesus Christ alone and you've called upon him to be your personal Savior, you are free indeed. The past does not matter. Your bondage does not matter. You are in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, it's all settled. Now, thinking back to after the crucifixion, when many disciples, believers, had walked away, when many of the disciples and believers, they were in disbelief of what had happened. How could this possibly be? How could Jesus be gone? Those believers were disappointed and hopeless. And I believe we've all felt like that at one time or another. You may even be here this morning, and that's exactly how you're feeling, confused, helpless, and hopeless. But there is one that is near this morning, and his name is Jesus. Notice after the resurrection, before the resurrection, there is no hope. They feel helpless. But after the resurrection, after Jesus claimed victory over everything, the disciples were comforted. Those believers were empowered, and lives were transformed. Our God is still able to transform lives today. He's been doing it for thousands of years, and he continues to do it today. Because the truth is, everything changed the day that the stone was rolled away. Mary came to the tomb that morning expecting death, but she walked away having met a living Savior. I don't know what's brought you here this morning. I don't know how you receive the invitation or your reason for walking through the doors this morning. But what I do know, there is a living Savior with open arms this morning that loves you and cares for you. And the same truth that changed Mary Magdalene's life that day is the same truth that stands before us this morning. Jesus is not in the grave. He is alive. He is not distant. He knows your name. And he has not left things the same or for us to figure things out. He has changed everything. There is nothing that has ever been accomplished that is greater than the resurrection. There is no man greater than the man we spoke about this morning, Jesus. Jesus truly is the undefeated one. And the same triumph, the same victory that Mary experienced that day is available to each and every one of us. If you would stand with me, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask just a couple questions this morning. No one looking around. The resurrection is not just something to believe. It is something to respond to. So what will you do with Jesus this morning? God is still calling, just like he called Mary that morning. If you've never called on the Lord to save you from your sins, if you would say in your heart, I don't know that I would spend eternity in heaven if I were to pass away today. I think I might, but I'm not sure. If that's you this morning, you would say, I'm not sure that I've been saved. I'm not sure that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If there's anyone here like that this morning, you say, pray for me. I'm not sure that Jesus is my personal Savior. You slip your hand up now. Thank you. I see that hand. Is there anyone else this morning? You say, I'm not sure that Jesus is my personal Savior. I'm not sure I'll spend an eternity in heaven someday. Thank you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. If you are a Christian here this morning, you know that you're saved. You know that you're on your way to heaven. But you would say, I haven't been living in the victory of the resurrection. I haven't been telling the people around me about the resurrection and the gospel like I need to. I know that Jesus is victorious, and I want to live in the light of the victory of the resurrection. If that's your prayer this morning as a Christian, would you raise your hand? I want to live in the victory of the resurrection. Hands up all around the room. Thank you. You may put your hands down. This is our time of invitation. If you'd like to come up to the front and you'd like to pray to your God, to talk with him personally. The altar is open. People are up here. Just a moment ago, you thought to yourself, I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. The altar is open. There are people with Bibles ready to show you Jesus' love for you and how you can know you have eternity in heaven. The invitation is open. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, in which your word has been preached. Lord, we've seen what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to do a great work, that you'd continue to work in lives and to work in hearts, and that you would continue to strengthen us and help us this morning. Lord, we thank you for Christians that are praying. Lord, we thank you for the way that you are working in hearts. Lord, we're undeserving, but you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer the death of the cross. Lord, to resurrect the third day. Lord, for us, and we can't understand it. We may not understand why, but Lord, we're thankful that you did. Thank you for bringing us here this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.